I'm Rob.
I'm E.
I'm Q.
I'm Phil Spector.
Now, if you will excuse me, I must be on my way.
But I can't believe it.
Welcome to the next movement, folks. Phil Spector, Q, no rap name. Welcome, guys. Glad to have you here.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you, man, for real.
Yeah, of course. We had to pivot from our original plan for this episode. We were planning to be out in the world tonight recording in the field, specifically at Crate Diggers at 711 South 4th Street because, I mean, it's a dope record shop, especially for folks looking for independent releases and exclusive drops. But it's also the spot where the Philly chapter of Flip a Beat Club meets for various reasons. Didn't work out, but shout out to Bob for being willing.
Yeah, shout out to Bob. He always looks out for us.
Always.
But we got Filth and Q here. And, you know, amongst other things, you guys are the co-hosts of the aforementioned Flip a Beat Club here in Philly. So let's start there. The club meets at Crate Diggers, like I was saying. For folks out there who might not know, what is Flip a Beat Club?
Q set it off. He just brought me in to sidekick. I'll let him give the rundown.
Basically, Flip a Beat Club started in Sacramento with Mons Rock at 12's Wax. Shout out to Mons, shout out to 12's Wax, and shout out to DJ Fooders and everybody involved. And basically, they just had the homies coming through like every month. They were doing it on the day of the month. So it was 1-1-2-2-3-3. Just like every month, everybody would come through and just make beats. I heard about it. Somehow I heard about it like right when it started and just started pulling up because I lived in the Bay at the time. So I'll just drive out like an hour and a half or whatever and just pull up and we make beats. Everybody played them. And it was really like just to do it, you know what I mean? And just like meet people and all of that. But, you know, it just started growing and growing and there's been new chapters and now there's like chapters all across the country. You know, we have LA, Houston, Dallas, Yellow Springs, Ohio. We had the DMV chapter popping for a bit. We had, we got Toronto with Rez Fresco, like all over the place. More ones on the way. Chicago, yeah, like B4 Laser, shout out to him.
And then worldwide on Zoom, there's people coming in from Hungary, all over the place through Zoom, which is crazy. And then, so the Philly Q started off the Philly chapter. I went to the first one or two. He asked me to come on and help out hosting the Philly chapter the way we do it. Now it's the third Friday of every month. You show up. There's a sample curator every month. They put together a pack of like anywhere between 3 to 6 samples. You bring whatever you make beats on, your phone, computer, sampler, whatever. You got like 2.5 to 3 hours to make something. And then we play it in the shop as well as on Zoom with the other chapters. And then at the end of every month, we put out a compilation of everybody who sends their beats in on Bandcamp.
It's a really dope concept.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah,
it is a really dope concept. And yo, I hate to cut you off, Phil, but real quick, I have to mention that when people tell me that it's a dope concept, I'm like, yo, I'm not taking credit for this concept. Like,
we didn't come up with the concept
at all, yo. So shout out to Mons Rock and shout out to everybody involved over at 12's Wax and shout out to DiBiase and just all of it. Because again, it's a learning experience. Like we all show up together and, you know, people just like, I'm seeing stuff I've never seen before. That's the first place I've seen like a Polyend tracker and like all these 16 just showed up with some crazy thing. I still don't know what it is. You know what I mean? Like all types of stuff. And people like Dibby and people like B-Wit and all them out there, like just in a second or Roboplex, all them, Telly McLean, like in a second, we'll just help you with something. Like everybody's not trying to be Hollywood and like be like, yo, look at me. It's like, we're like helping each other, you know? Yeah. So that can't be overstated.
Yeah. And then on top of that, it's kind of just like a it's like a perfect case for like arguing about why sampling is an art form and it is music. We're not just copy and paste and stuff. Like we put out compilations, some out there's 45 beats on it, and not we're all using the same exact sample, and not one of these beats sound anything like the one you heard before or after it.
Thanks.
So yeah, shout out to Flip a Beat Club, and
Thanks.
it's growing. What have we been? We were over a little over 1 year at the Philly chapter, and yeah, we got new people coming out every month. We got regulars, and then from that, with the group of people, we've been putting together shows elsewhere. We've been working on compilation beat tapes and stuff like that. That's how me and Q met each other and started making beats together and stuff like that.
And learning more about Flip a Beat Club, it seems like the idea is to really create community because being a producer can be a lonely existence. So I'm wondering
Yes.
what it's been like for you to head this chapter in Philly and see this community gather.
It's been great,
Yo.
like because like you said, like most people who make beats, it's not like being in a band. You're not going over your friend's house with three other people and all that. It's like most of us are just in our rooms or wherever we make beats, and like maybe we'll email each other or send each other like clips, like, yo, this is what I'm working from. But it's usually pretty like a pretty solo experience. So yeah, like having a community where you can not only bounce off ideas, but like learn things. Like I've learned so much just from being like seeing how somebody's chopping up a drum break. Be like, oh, how do you do that? Etc. Trading sounds with each other. And then yeah, realizing like, hey, we live close to each other. Why don't we meet up and try to make some beats together? It's been great.
Yeah, I mean, I talked to people through this who've been like, yo, like I don't even come outside. You know what I mean? Like really, really. You know what I mean? Like I go to work, I go home, I do this, you know what I mean? It's like a lot of people really, this is like they're coming outside and it's like and it's mad people there, so it's cool. You know, it's not just like popping out to like, you know, a couple people. Like we be having more people at Flip a Beat Club than we'll have at some shows, you know what I mean? Just like mad people coming through. So
Facts.
just this social element of it is really important. Like just not even forget about talking about music, just talking to another person or talking to three other
Yeah.
people with similar things that they're thinking
Interest
about
and
doing. Like it helps a
yeah.
lot.
Like we were saying earlier, like it started off like just us all meeting once a month for the Flip a Beat Club. But once we've done it for multiple months and we kind of have like a group of regular participants, we've moved that into doing like shows outside of Flip a Beat Club and outside of Crate Diggers. Like we'll get, four of us, and then we'll bring in some outside people, or maybe we'll get a couple of rappers and we'll do a show. So it's because at Flip a Beat Club, it's great, but we're only hearing one beat from everybody that night. So like, and it's with a sample that you had to use. Whereas if we do a show together, you got, anywhere between 10 to 30 minutes to do what you do when you don't have any restraints. So that's been really great too, just to see like people develop over the year and really, step out of their comfort zone and perform their beats live and stuff like that as well.
That sounds like an expansion on the original idea.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and you know what though? In addition to the original, like even out in Sacramento, very shortly after the regulars kind of got identified, it was just like, all right, well now we're doing shows, you know. So now they'll pop up anywhere in Sac and just do a show. People know who they are. They've met rap, like shout out to EG the Beast because he came through just, you know, to one of the shows that we were doing at the pizza shop. And like come to find out 6 months later, he's like dropped a whole album with just all Flip a Beat Club producers. You know what I mean?
Wow,
Like
yeah.
it's a yeah, like it's very, very organic. And I think people got to understand that it's very organic. You know what I mean? Like a lot of like people who book shows and stuff, they'll trip on you if you're not associated with a certain thing. It's like, no, this is like truly organic and it's working and people care and they want to show up to it. So, you know, it's growing though. It's doing what it's supposed to do. Shout out to Flip a Beat Club for real.
Q, you were an original member of the Flip a Beat Club when it formed in Sacramento. I'm wondering how much the operation has changed since then.
That's the funniest part. It hasn't changed at all.
It's just got bigger.
It got bigger, but it hasn't changed at all. And that's what, so that's how you know that, like I said, it's natural and it's grassroots, because
yeah,
a lot of people, they get that many eyes on them and they just start changing up. They're like, hey, yo, by the way, this is sponsored by Red Bull now, or, you know, or shout out to Red Bull, but, you know, whoever, like, it's sponsored by some corporate entity. And we brought all kind of new people in who don't actually care, but like, they're cool. So like, they, yeah, they get a say. This has been like the exact same thing the whole
just
time,
with more people. Yeah, really the only reason it ever really moved out of 12's Wax in Sacramento was their COVID numbers went back up, and they were like, oh, like, it's probably not safe to do it in the record store this month, let's just do it on Zoom. And DiBiase reposted the link, that's how I saw it, and a bunch of people showed up. And then after COVID numbers went back down, so like, so we, you know, they could safely meet back up at 12's Wax, they were like, you know what, why don't we just keep it on Zoom and in person? And then when Q moved back to Philly, that's when the Philly chapter started. So like, all the chapters like started because of the people in those cities being regular participants when it was just an online thing.
Is there like routine interaction between the chapters?
Yeah, we got a group chat and all that.
Yeah, there's a group chat with all like the hosts. And then we have our own like group chat with just like the Philly chapter. But yeah, when we get on Zoom, like the Zoom meeting starts at 7 o'clock Eastern time, and we're the first chapter that plays our beats, and we don't start playing beats till like 8. So everybody's just kind of kicking it like on Zoom, either in the chat or just talking to each other, like, it gets kind of hectic because there's a lot of people on the Zoom, but it's always a good time. There's always somebody who doesn't know how to mute themselves.
That's very true.
Some comedy. You know what?
It's a testament, though. It's like I said, like, people not leaving the crib, we're not interacting. It's like, yo, right? So this is like your first Zoom meeting, like, for real, respectfully.
Exactly.
Like, this is the first time you've done this. So good. You're learning something on top of learning something.
Yeah.
But yeah, but as far as interaction, though, I should mention, you know, if anybody's watching this, like, I personally promote more interaction. Like, it's not weird to reach out to somebody based on like, yo, I saw you in the chat off of this thing, and I make this, and I heard your beat, and it was fire. Like, yo, like, reach out to more people. We need to build this network, like,
exactly,
very, very truly, so that, because the end goal is to, you know, make albums and do shows, you know what I mean? Build that network on your own, bro, and like, continue to build it. Like, it's up to you. It's not up to me. It's not up to Mondrak. It's not up to DiBiase. Like,
yeah,
just talk to people. You know, most of the people I met, 99.9% of the people I met through this are mad cool. So,
yeah. And to piggyback off that, like, we put out our own compilation this past year because of, just because we had so many people in the Philly chapter. Like, we approached Mondrak and we're like, in addition to like the regular compilation, like, can we do one that's just Philly? And, you know, we have, you know, plans to do more of that. In addition to, you know, trying to just put new people on for doing shows and stuff like that, because me and Q can't keep booking ourselves. We have to put other people on. People will get sick of hearing us eventually.
No, that's a fact. And I've been really trying to do that. Book more people, look outside, you know what I mean? And shout out to New York also. There's so many dope beat makers in New York, and there is not an actual Flip It Beat Club New York chapter yet. But
there will be. There will be.
Like, if I, you know, I'm gonna talk to all the New York homies and make sure that it happens soon, because there's so much talent up there. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's surprising.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, it's so dope. Their scene is crazy. Like, and I don't want to say they take it for granted, but they know damn well that, like,
they know they got something going on.
They got, you know what I mean? They're like, oh, this whole thing, you know what I mean? It's like, nah, like, they need to broadcast that some more. Just shout out to New York. I love all of them.
I think Filthy might have touched on this just a little bit earlier, but I'm thinking about the way Flip a Beat Club works, and it feels like making a beat in one session sort of on the spot and then sharing it with your peers in a group setting could be a really vulnerable thing.
Yeah.
So from y'all's observations, has it ever seemed like folks need to ease their way into the process and group before they feel completely comfortable?
There's definitely been times where like people come out and they're like, I don't know if I want to play mine. And we're like, yeah, like if you don't want to play it, like you don't have to, but like just know that everybody in here is like extremely encouraging and positive. And there's people of all skill levels and people making various different styles of music. Like it's not like a bunch of like people that are like the same age making boom bap hip hop. There's people that are 10 years younger than me or more. There's people that are 10 years older than me. Like I'm 34. So it goes like we have really young people. There's people older than me, people my age. And there's people making boom bap. There's people making stuff that sounds like Flying Lotus stuff. There's people making stuff that sounds like Aphex Twin stuff. People making like house music, dance music, like, so we kind of just like explain that to people if it's their first time, being like, it's kind of a free for all. Like you literally, the only rule is you have to use at least one of the samples and don't let your beat be more than like 90 seconds long. So everybody gets a chance to play what they make, and people will be like, oh yeah, I'll see how it goes, and kind of like stay back in the line. And then eventually like be like, oh yeah, this is like a really positive environment, everybody's super encouraging, and then like they'll go last, but then the next time they show up they'll be
first. Yeah, they'd be ready to go for it.
They'll be like, yo, I got something this time.
Hey, yeah. Yo, you know what too though, like making a beat fast is like needing to make a beat fast is like a very, I'm not saying you should make every beat fast, but like you should be able to work with a time clock, you know, like it helps you like, all right, well like let me like quickly like move quickly, you know what I mean? Be like, all right, yeah. What do I gotta do? Like where are my drums? Are they readily accessible? And even if they're not, you'll know for next time. You know what I mean? Yeah. Keep everything in like a template. People be like, oh man, 2 hours ain't enough time. I'm like, all right, respectfully,
it is.
You know what I mean? Like it really is. And just think about why you don't think it's enough time. What wasn't ready for you this time? Like, you know what I mean? In your own mind, yeah. By the time you leave, you're supposed to just be like, all right, like, you know what I mean? Like, what can I do better next time? So the fact that we do it every month is the most important thing to me. It's like, yeah. Come on back and do it again, you know?
It also helps, like, that time restraint, like, helps, like, second-guessing yourself. Like, you just got to, like, follow your initial creative spark and kind of just go for it. Like, I know me personally, like, when I make beats by myself, like, I second-guess stuff. I, like, tinker stuff that I think I'm changing, but, like, it's not really doing anything. And that might be the biggest takeaway that I've gotten from working with Q. Not saying that he rushes through beats, but he's just like, yo, we'll make this one. We don't think it's dope. We're just going to make 1,000 more. And, like, that's kind of the mindset. And that's really, like, helped me like drastically in my like own creative process, because I'll sit with something for like a month and be like, what am I doing with this? Like, I don't even like this anymore. Whereas Q will sit with it and be like, all right, I'm gonna make 12 more beats while you're sitting here overthinking the snare that you use for this one beat.
So it's about building community, but it's also about building skill.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like Q touched on it earlier, like just being around other people that are using different equipment or they're working kind of within a different genre style, and being in the same room as each other. And just like me and Q are the host. So like, we just walk around and we're like looking over people's shoulders. Like, yo, what are you working on? You're using that. And like, there hasn't been one session where I haven't left with it, some like thinking of like, oh, I've never made a beat that way before. I've never even thought you could do that, or like, I've never tried that workflow, which is, I think that's like a big takeaway for Flip a Beat Club, just like seeing how different people kind of approach the same tools in different ways.
Bill answered the next question that I had, but Q, I wanted to specifically ask you, how has hosting and being part of Flip a Beat Club influenced your own production?
Well, you know what? I mean, it's funny. It's like a little bit, I feel like it has inspired me in a million ways. Like I'm always very, very, very inspired by everybody so much. And like, it makes me want to work, but like, it also is like a thing that takes away from time that I probably would have just been spending using beats. So I'm making less like projects and shit, you know, but I'm getting more inspiration, which is probably a good thing. I don't need to be making as many projects as I was 2 years ago. Like, it was just, I was putting something out every week and I didn't need to. But so now watching and like, basically, if you make music, you need to watch people who are at a high level make the kind of music that you make so that you can constantly be inspired, you know what I mean? Or like at least that's what I think. And so sometimes I'll see shit and I'm just blown away. I'm just like, dude, what? Like, I never would have thought of that. So if you could see somebody do something within your wheelhouse that you would have never, ever thought of, like, it just unlocks another part of your creativity and it lets you do shit you wouldn't have thought of doing. So I'm very grateful for it. I think hosting has helped me out a lot. I don't have to be so zeroed in. Like Phil said, I can kind of look at everybody and be like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, Ricky used to show up with just a pocket operator. I was like, what? And he would play the illest beat. So I'm like, all right, like, okay, let me crack my pocket operator out and like learn some shit. Or let me also follow Oh Ricky, you know what I mean? And see what he's got going on. So like, hosting has been nothing but beneficial to
That's another thing. Too, with like, I think musicians in general, but definitely like producers, you see somebody using like a different type of sampler and you think like, oh, if I get my hands on that, I can make that. But it's like, no, you can literally make whatever you make on anything. Like, I've seen DiBiase make the craziest beat you ever heard on a PS5 or a PSP like handheld video game and like his cell phone.
Yeah.
And it sounds exactly like the stuff he makes when he's on Ableton or like, you know, some other DAW. Like, it's your own creativity. Like, that's your only limit when you're making beats. It's not the gear. Like, some people show up and they have the Koala app on their phone. It's a $7 phone app and sounds amazing. So like, there really is no like boundaries. Like,
yeah, people make full albums on it.
Exactly. Yeah,
I love that.
And I think that's an important takeaway for especially younger people.
It's not the gear, it's the ear.
Exactly.
Yeah, what you do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Not the gear, it's the ear.
I like that. So Flip a Beat Club has hosted live events. And it sounds like the goal of these events is to continue to foster community and also really showcase like producer skills and bring in rappers as well. I'm wondering what you want the audience to get out of something like this. So what's the goal there?
Yeah, like we definitely want to like treat kind of, in my mind, like the end goal is like treat the monthly meetup as like a networking thing to build off of, and it's kind of just like sharpen your sword. And then when we do shows outside of Flip a Beat Club, you know, everybody's ready to go. I personally feel like if I was to put together a show right now, I could hit up anybody in Flip a Beat Club and they would be ready to go and be able to perform and have enough beats and like just be ready to go. And I think that's great. We just hosted up in Brooklyn the other week. Top Shelf Premium did their supply and demand event. I think it was their third event. But Mark from Top Shelf.
No, they did like six of them, Jones. They did like seven.
But they did a lot of them, regardless. Mark hit up me and Q and asked if Flip a Beat Club would host a beat producer section of the day. And that was strictly based off of, they did a pop-up in Philly at Crate Diggers and Bob asked me and Q to play beats beforehand and we just met there and just stayed in touch with Mark and like, he gave us the opportunity to, you know, host an event outside of Philly, outside of Crate Diggers, at a pretty large and well-attended event. So hopefully, you know, more things like that keep happening for Flip a Beat Club, and we can bring in, you know, other members of Flip a Beat Club and just keep it growing.
And to what you were saying about the crowd, though, I think a lot of crowds show up expecting a rap show. Well, I mean, especially if we're having a rap show and then we're playing just beats. But, like, a lot of people leave with something that they, you know, not a lot of people have really been to too many instrumental hip-hop shows.
Yeah.
So I think for a lot of people, it's kind of like a first time or like a, like, oh, I don't really see too many beat shows. A lot of times I'll be like, yeah, I'd, like, do a beat show. And they're like, what is that? You know what I mean? So sometimes people, like, leave with something they didn't know that they didn't know what to expect. And I think that's fire, especially when people get into more of the dancier stuff and, like, more house and more. I'm trying to start making house, you know what I mean? Because really, you got to make people dance. And if people dance,
yeah,
and if girls are digging it and everybody's having a fun time, people are buying drinks, and they're going to have you come back. It's like, you know, they're going to have, you know, everybody's going to dig you. So I saw that at the first beat show I ever did. The homie went right before me, actually, and his set was so dancey and fun, and girls were coming in from the other room, and they were dancing with each other and, like, buying drinks. And I was like, oh, my God, dude, my set is so boring compared to this. Like, they're all going to leave, and I'm going to cry. But, you know, there's definitely some power involved in it, and, like, trying to get people to have a nice time. But, yeah, like, I think crowds always show up not knowing what to expect and leave, like, not knowing what they just heard, which I think is a good thing. Unless there's rappers in the crowd. I like when rappers are in the crowd, they'd be like pulling right up to you after the show and be like, yo, man, we got to work. It's like, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
That's a good crowd to me.
That's the best.
I'm sorry. What were you saying? No, I did not mean to cut you
off.
No.
Keep going.
That's really it. It's like, it depends who's in the crowd, right? As far as the crowd. And that's why I've been trying to put 10 people on a bill, because it's like, all right, well, if the only people, like, I've been to shows with my band where, like, me and the other bands are the only people in the crowd. So I'm like, all right, well, might as well just play the show for the artist. You know,
yeah.
Invite a bunch of rappers to come see a beat show, you know what I mean? And they'll all pull up and let them rock. And, you know, like, yo, come rap over my beats, you know what I mean? And yeah, that's how you build the thing. Like, it's hard to get people, regular average people who work hard and, like, you know, in these economic times to just pop out to a random show. Man, people ain't really doing that.
Yeah.
Especially for something they don't understand what it is. So, I don't know, I'm trying to build the crowd that way. And for me, I want to build the crowd of rappers and other beat makers first and then get regular people involved, you know?
I really like that. So the audience is the bonus.
Right.
Yeah.
If you build it, they will come. Like, if you really build it, they will come. I never stop thinking about that, because if you build it, a lot of people expect people to come, but they didn't build nothing yet. You know
what
I mean?
True.
You're like, yo, pull up. It's like, yo, you don't have
There's
anything.
Nothing to pull
what
up
are you
to.
Giving me?
Yeah.
Right. So, very like, if point. I build it bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's just like, oh, all right, bet. Now this thing is super lit. And now people are like, oh, what's going on in there? Like, if you build it, they will come out of sheer curiosity. And, like, that's the thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, people will be walking down the street and see a folding table with a bunch of people with headphones on and a bunch of crazy-looking machines and just walk into Crate Diggers and be like, what's going on here? And then just hang out and listen for a while.
It's always a good time.
This year, the Philly Inquirer published an article about Flip a Beat Club, and in it, Donald McCary, and I apologize, I don't know his producer name, I forget it.
DiBiase.
DiBiase.
Thank you. So he was one of the original founders of Flip a Beat Club.
Yeah.
And he said this when he was interviewed. There's a five-year plan. If we do this and we do it well for the next 5 years, it will do wonders. It's only going to magnify. So when you all think about what the next few years look like for Flip a Beat Club Philly, what do you all envision? What goals do you want to accomplish?
More shows, more rappers tapping in with us, more collaborative tapes with each other, going to the other cities. Like, I've been joking since day one that there's going to be the Flip a Beat Club World Tour. And, like, I was genuinely joking. But the way the chapters keep popping up, we can at least do a cross-country tour.
Easily.
Easily we could make that happen. Like, so just keep growing from there. Like, the whole Flip a Beat Club is, what, a little over 2 years old? Mm-hmm. The Philly chapter's a little over a year old. And, like, the amount that it's grown and the amount of people that show up every month regularly and other events that we've been able to do and shows and people doing projects and making songs together has grown way faster than I've ever expected. So I can only, mm-hmm. I can only imagine what's going to, you know, if it keeps moving like this.
As far as the 5-year plan, my plan was from the beginning with coming here was to like remain like, you know, I'm you got to stay in your lane and you got to play your role, right? Like, I'm not Flip a Beat Club, you know what I mean? Flip a Beat Club originated where it originated, so I'm following them and whatever they do, like whatever I do in my own artistic life or whatever shows I throw, like that's me. But like, as far as Flip a Beat Club, I'm gonna just follow the plan. I'm gonna follow Dibby, I'm gonna follow Mons Rock, and I'm gonna follow them like faithfully and do my part and, you know, do what needs to be done. But just, you know, if that fool tells you something's going to happen, it's going to happen because that's a dedicated individual. You know
exactly.
I mean? Like, all you have to do is track back as far as he's gone. Like, he got the new 404 before anybody. You know what I mean? He gets to be on.
Serato, he just played. He was just on tour in Japan. Like, yeah. He got invited to play in Japan. Like, he's getting stamps on his passport just playing beats. Like, it's crazy. So
that's my 5-year plan. I'm going to be.
Yeah, I'm going to follow him.
Yeah, we'll be doing that.
Another place in the universe, up under different stars.
You mentioned collaborative tapes, so let's talk about Color Sound Experiment.
Let's.
The two of you collaborated on a beat tape that dropped in October. To me, the idea of collaborative beat tapes in and of itself seems a bit experimental, but it sounds like this one was recorded live, like the two of you are in the same place. It was improvised. Like, the online description of the project calls it an attempt to capture the essence of jazz experimentation.
We were definitely experimenting for sure. Like, so we just were like, Q was just like, yo, come through and let's try to make some beats. And kind of the approach we had was we would do the session would be, I would do the drums, Q would do the samples, and we would fill up one bank on a 404. So it's 12 beats. And then we'd go home. And then like the next week we'd meet up. I would do the sample chops, Q would do the drums, and we'd fill up one bank on a 404, so that's 12 more beats. We just kept doing that, and then we were like, I guess we should listen back to some of these and see what we got. And then, yeah, we just started like recording them in, you know, while we were twisting knobs and doing effects and stuff live, and just recording them into the computer. And then we're like, oh, we have, you know, enough to put out a tape. And we kind of sat on it for a little bit. And then we were just talking with Zach at Dead World Radio. He has like an online like pirate radio and he puts out some tapes. And I was just asking like, yo, how do you go about putting out your tapes? Like, I've never done it before. And he was like, I'll just put it out. Just send me it. And that's how we kind of, that's the short version of how we made it and how we got cassettes made for it.
Yeah, shout out to Dead World Radio, man, because I don't know the first thing about making a tape. And he's very he's the first one to interview me ever. I was like, you want to interview me? What are you talking about? And like, yeah, get it up. And like, you know, he's been a close homie. He popped out to Flip a Beat Club one time all the way from Scranton. So shout out to him.
As a listener, from what you just described, I imagine the answer to this question is no. But as a listener, do you think there's a way to distinguish who was doing what on Color Sound Experiment?
On side A, maybe slightly, because there's a couple ones in there where it's like most, it's like 98% one of us, but all of side B, I don't know who did what at this
point. I don't know either. That's what I was about to say. I'm like, yo, I listen back because I'll make shit not listen to it for mad long. You know what I mean? Because I'm like, all right, well, I need to make something else. You know, I listened to it while I was making it. But exactly. Now, like when first time, like I got the tape, you know what I mean? And I'm like playing it back. I'm like, first of all, because I make beats and I don't remember shit anyway. Like, I drink and smoke, man. Like it ain't no secret, you know? So like, I have a long session, make mad beats. And just the next day I'm like, I made this, you know what I mean? So to add the collaborative aspect into that is just crazy. I'm like, bro, I don't remember. And I'm working on some stuff now with Chop the Head in 16, and Six just sent me back all these mixes. I'm like, we made this? Like, are you positive? Are you sure?
Yeah.
So yeah, no, I'm gonna have to say no. I can't even tell, and we were in the same room making it for weeks, so I can't even tell. Yeah. But part two is already completely done, just so you know, and part three we're about to do tomorrow.
Yeah, we're gonna meet up tomorrow and make a million beats. Well,
that's great. Shout out to Chop. We had Chop on the show earlier this year. Okay, so I mean, first of all, it sounds like getting this tape together, getting it done, may have been a bit chaotic and confusing, but it sounds great. When I read the nod to the essence of jazz experimentation, then and listen to it again, especially on side A, there are all these clips of people talking about like outer space and aliens and so last
got
time
my
I
Sun Rob book
right here. I was just gonna say last time I listened to it, I could not help but think about Sun Ra and felt like there are definitely moments that feel like a nod to Sun
so
Ra.
I went to college in Philly at LaSalle, and I was a journalism major, and for our senior year we had to do a community journalism class, and our assignment was we went out to the Germantown area and kind of wandered around and tried to find some stories. And there's a mural in a park, and I forget which park, but there's a Sun Ra mural.
Vernon,
and I was like,
Vernon Park, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, I know these guys, like I know their house is here, and I know there's some original members still living. And I just went on their website and I emailed their manager. I was like, hey, I would love to talk to you guys. And they responded immediately and said, come through to the house, gave us the address. And me and my partner in the class for the project, we drove out and we parked on the street. We were walking around and we're like, I don't know what house it is. And then, you know, you look up and there's a door that has the pyramids and spaceships. And I was like, well, we're in the right spot. And the current band leader, Marshall Allen, like welcomed us in, gave us a whole tour of the house, told some incredible stories, showed us all types of crazy sound boxes and keyboards that Sun Ra like picked up like in their travels, like koi instruments from Japan, like just like the craziest stuff. They made a drum from a tree that got hit by lightning across the street, like just the craziest stuff. So like I've just been a fan since then, and like he was doing experimental music, he was doing like DIY like punk rock style. Like this book I got is like hand-printed artwork that like the band members were just making and printing up themselves. Like they were doing it themselves, and like outside of the music, like that's always been extremely inspiring to me. And yet when me and Q were like talking like, oh, what kind of stuff should be sampled, we were trying to let's try to make some like spacey psychedelic, but like that still knocks and has drums, kind of. It's where he landed. I don't know. I always liked like space noises and music. So like, I kind of just like went crazy and added a lot of that stuff and like some of the UFO clips and stuff after we made the beats.
Right. I stole a Sun Ra record from this girl's crib once. And I'm never giving it back. Nah, that's yours. She'll know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Nah, that's like yours. You earned that.
Because it is one of my favorite. I know. You damn right I earned it. But you earned that. Yeah, she's cool. Shout out to her.
And then on top of that, like, they live in Philly. Like, it just all connected. Like, when I first met Q, I used to say his beats were, I used to call him Brian Eno Bap, because they would be real spacey and ambient, but like still not that. Crazy.
I love that.
I was just like, yeah, that we take some of that.
I love that Sun Ra was such an inspiration for the project, but he's not. You know, he's not mentioned anywhere. You're letting people come to their own conclusion about that, which is
great. Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of clips from the movie, The Space is the Place. There's a bunch of like random blips and bleeps, space noises that we took from the movie. I don't know if we sampled any of his like songs proper, but I have no idea. Like you said, we just kind of just like made it live. And if somebody, and that's why there's no like official track listing, because we just made it.
Right.
It's side A and side B.
And I forget what I sampled for legal reasons. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Exactly. Legally, we played it all ourselves.
So I could look a judge or a lawyer straight in the eye and be like, bro, I really don't know.
Legally, we played it all ourselves.
I'm sure, I'll tell you straight. I probably sampled something, but I don't know what it was. You gotta find it
and tell me.
Really don't know.
Shout out to Marshall Allen, 99 years old. I just saw he played a show last night at Solar Myth.
Yeah, he's incredible.
It's incredible.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Incredible. He still rips.
But yo, you know what though? Real quick, let me say that music will keep your mind young. And I really think people should delve into some music. A lot of people are like, I'm not a musician or I'm not a singer. You're like, yo, man, I don't care what you're not.
Yeah, make something. Some shit.
Fuck around with a little bit of some kind of music and just keep doing something. And eventually, like, it will keep your mind sharp for mad long and it'll keep you entertained. A lot of people look for, like, let me just watch TV for 9.5 hours. Like, bro, like, just try and
go make some shit.
Make a little jingle.
Go make some shit.
Consider time as officially ended.
Totally different topic. Filth, saw that you've got a beat coming on the upcoming Reef the Lost Cause project.
Yeah.
One of our favorite humans in Philly. What can we expect to hear?
Truly, truly crazy. I've been listening to Reef since I was in eighth grade, probably. Somebody's older brother burned a copy of the Feast or Famine album. And I've just been a fan since. And again, shout out to Bob at Crate Diggers and Mark at Top Shelf Premium for like making this connection possible. When they did the Top Shelf Cypher in Philly, they did it at Crate Diggers. Reef was one of the MCs in the cypher. And I just, you know, shook his hand afterwards and he was like, yo, send me some shit. I sent him a bunch of beats. And I was like, if you like any of these, like, they're yours, like, you know, let me know. He hit me back up and was like, this is the one. I'd love to use it possibly for an album I'm working on. I was like, yeah, here's all the stems for your engineer. You know, just keep me updated what's going on. And then I got tagged in the Instagram post when he announced the album. And I was like, oh, my name's on the artwork. So I guess I made the cut. So yeah, to be honest, I haven't heard the track yet. I know what my beat sounds like and I know what Reef, you know, does when he gets on beats. So I'm sure it's gonna be good.
Yeah.
I hope my beat lives up to, you know, what he brings from a lyrical standpoint. And I can't wait to hear it.
Just like the rest of us. Can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, shout out to Reef.
Testament to what you guys were talking about with these shows, you know, rapper in a crowd, here's a beat, you start working together.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that's the best way to do it. Hopefully more of that happens. Like it's mad awkward. Just like cold emailing or DMing somebody like, oh, I like your music. I make beats. Like they're not going to listen to that.
It is.
Like, but if you meet them in person, you're like, yo, I like your music. They heard you play beats earlier. It's like, it's an organic connection. You just build off of that. Like, better stuff happens that way than just sending people, you know, stuff.
Right.
Yeah, nobody wants that, bro. I've been telling people all the time, man. Like, it's like a dick pic, bro. Like, don't send a beat or, like, a thing. Like, you never said a word to me ever. Like, you're sending some unsolicited material to me right now. Like, you got to
chill. Exactly.
You got to chill.
All right, here's another song now. You have to listen carefully. We want you to listen to the next song. And I think this next song, this is about a guy who doesn't care about your health. All he cares about is if he can get that money for
you. He's being too easy.
So,
he talking loud and saying nothing for the dollars.
You're better off quitting, start working blue collar. More bars up in the place, slapping out your phony. Got niggas just play like pimp sessions with tenderonis.
When y'all suckers gonna learn how this rap shit goes? I hate it when the fake nigga tried to doze. Rap about his clothes and fake ass stories and hoes. Or how we shined up his rival foes.
Like I ain't heard that story before. I had it up to here with the black on black. Cause that shit is worse than the clan attack. Some niggas brain lack common sense, common knowledge and confidence. We trying to put a stop to your whack incompetence.
Once we come through,
ain't no stopping this. Repeat.
Once we come through, ain't no stopping this.
What?
I roll through like with some wall and curve, so niggas better be alert when I insert. You better.
Every episode, we ask our guests to pick an album for us to discuss that is a personal favorite, a personal classic, influential in some way, maybe. So tonight, we're talking about Quasimodo and The Unseen. Filth, I know this wasn't your first choice, and we'll get to that in a minute, but how did the two of you end up landing on this album?
I think it checks all the boxes you just said. Personal classic, definitive classic, and especially for, you know, me and Q's music, like where it intersects, like I feel like Madlib in general is like a great crossing point between the stuff that we're both into, and especially for the Color Sound Experiment tape we did, like Quasimodo, like, yes, it's a hip hop album, but like there's a jazz influence on it. It's psychedelic in nature. And it also just kind of shows that like you can make a beat out whatever the hell you want. Like there's no rules. Like he samples from everywhere on that album. And then it was also like with like the clips between songs, like there's like comedy elements to it. Like, I don't know, like to me personally, like that's my biggest takeaway with Madlib's music is that like you can do whatever the hell you want. Like there's no rules.
Q, I don't know how much of that you heard, but the question was essentially, how did we end up landing on this album?
This album, I love this album. There's a big ass Q right on it.
That's right.
Honestly, I'm like, when it comes to thinking about what makes an album great, I go back to replay value. I could listen to that album right now, front to back. You know what I mean? Like, nothing is tired. I'm not going to skip anything. Like, everything is crazy. Like, the beats are crazy. Like, it's a perfect rap album. It's like, and it's funny because a lot of times with a silly voice, you know, even Cypress Hill to some degree, even certain things where you're like, it's an unconventional voice, it takes you a minute to get into it. Quasimodo, to me anyway, was immediate. Like, I understood completely what was going on right away because I'm like, yo, and like he's balancing. The man's rapping with himself. Plus, this album was made in like 5 days or something crazy. Like, he just sat in the studio in a long weekend eating mushrooms and made this. So, like, that has a lot to do with what I do when I make beats. I'm like, yo, that's real. Like, you know, he don't got a cell phone and social media in the room. He's sitting in a room getting high, making beats. And listening to records and shit. Like, that's all I've ever wanted to do. So I think on a core level, Madlib resonates with me. I saw your background, E. That's super fire. Madlib's always going to resonate with me. He's always going to be top number one, my GOAT. And I think this is some... I can't say it's his best because that's just undeterminable.
There's too much to...
But I think as far as, like, you know, this and Madville and, you know... it's just like, all right, it's 10 out of 10 perfect rap album. And if you feel some other kind of way, you better explain.
Come to Flip a Beat Club and tell us why you think something else is better.
What do you guys remember about the first time you heard this album?
So I probably heard it for the first time in high school, and just thinking that it was crazy with, like, once I realized, you know, he's rapping, like you said, he's rapping with himself. Like, that was crazy to me. And then just, like, I always, like, I come from playing in, like, hardcore bands and stuff. So, like, I'm a sucker for short songs. There's a lot of short songs. Like, that shit was cool to me because, like, a lot of rap music at a certain point, like, it does, to me, get boring. It's like, all right, I get it. Go to the next song. So that was always cool to me. And then the fact that, like, he was sending, like, such a wide array of stuff. And then on songs like The Return of the Loop Digger or Jazz Cats Part 1, like, he's giving you a map of, like, yo, these are some dope artists this to is check what, yeah. out. Mm-hmm. Like, if you just made a beat tape sampling the artist that he shouts out on those two songs, you would have an incredible beat tape. Hmm. And then on top of that, just, like, you know, just hearing clips of little samples of songs and stuff that, like, you know, you heard listening to, like, your parents' records growing up and stuff like that. Like, I don't know, like, that was the things that stood out to me probably the first time I heard it, which, yo, like I said, it was probably also in high school.
That album put me onto Fantastic Planet. That album put me onto Melvin Van Peebles heavy. Like, exactly. I didn't know who Melvin Van Peebles was until I heard The Unseen.
Exactly.
Like, definitely.
Yeah. And Fantastic maybe Planet's I should have. An incredible movie.
Yeah, all that, bro. It put me on to the Come On Feet sample with the key Jimmy Smith, who he mentions in Jazz Cats. But anybody he mentioned in Jazz Cats, at one point I did sit down and look up everybody and, like, really dug on, like, everybody, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And he, at the last bar, he's like, plenty more that I can name, but y'all won't put them to use. But anyway.
And I'm sitting there like, no, please give me more.
Go on. Like, yeah. But if you
go on,
if
I'm
you
taking,
listen,
I'm literally taking notes.
But if you listen, like, you'll hear it, like, it's self-explanatory. It breaks itself down. It's very meta. It's very, like, that shit just, it explains itself without being corny. It's funny without being corny. You know what I mean? It's
like a lot. There's a lot of funny parts on the album.
Straight up. And, like, speaking of no skips, it's very few things I won't skip, including the skits. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
Because it's essential to, like, it's like part of the lyrics at this point. Like, he's putting in skits just to be skits.
When you get into Good Morning Sunshine, like, when you really listen to that song, it's like, bro, you don't know nobody that does that. You don't know anybody that's going to rap along to another spoken word poetic thing and rhyme with it and, like, put it on the right beat. Like, that's genius level work. Pre-Serato. We're talking pre-Serato.
Yeah, no, he's
no Ableton, none of that shit. Like, that is, like, this man's ear. Like, it's like, that's crazy.
He was doing magic tricks all over the album.
Good morning, sunshine.
Damn.
Good morning, sunshine.
Yo.
Good morning, sunshine. Shine. Good morning, sunshine. Good morning, sunshine.
I ain't the cat y'all saw yesterday. At least I mean by tomorrow I won't be anyway. Whole new ball game, whole new day.
Buggy, don't it?
Your overgrown headlight. I asked you for the last time, why you so unkind? How many years in time I asked you, sister, bake this blue? You don't look out for us more than you do. Curious, huh? Curious yellow, ain't ya?
Nah, it ain't religion.
You know I don't go for that chosen few. Amen.
I just testing you.
I wouldn't even know, like, where to skip, because I feel like it's all connected. I can't tell where one thing ends and the other begins.
Exactly.
And for that reason, like, I kind of get lost in it in the most pleasurable way. Like,
that's,
I don't know where I'm at, but it sounds fantastic.
That was part of the idea of, like, when we were making our tape, is, like, let's just treat it like it's a mix. Like, I don't want to put track lists. I don't want to break it up. Like, it's not meant to be heard that way. Like, you're supposed to get, like, sucked into it.
And also shout out to Further Adventures of Lord Foss, because that album is just as good. And,
they're all great.
Like, I wish we could have picked both.
Yeah.
We'll everything
come back.
Ever
we'll talk.
Great,
we'll come back. We'll talk about every Mad Lib.
If y'all interviewed me 37 times, we could talk about 37 different Mad Lib albums, and I will speak just as passionately about them. You can believe that. Him and Alchemist are really, really number one and two to me.
we keep talking about this idea of Madlib like rapping with himself. And I feel like if you were to just describe that on paper, it sounds whack as shit, but it's yeah. not. And that's what's like so surprising to me about this. Like, it's the concept in theory, you're like, what? But it's yeah. so think about, good.
Think about because, Biggie on Give Me the Loot. Think about Biggie
yeah.
on Give Me
yeah,
the Loot.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. You're right.
Like,
you're right.
You know what I mean? And like a part
like
of
Quasimodo. Big, you know, yeah, example. And like Quasimodo's like a fully fledged character. Like, yeah. It's, yeah. It's yeah. not like. It's like a cartoon character, like a it's like a pro wrestling gimmick. Like there's Madlib and there's Quasimodo, like they're not the same person.
Right, yeah. exactly. Yeah.
I think it's he like, definitely yeah. took the inspiration from Gimme the Loop because like the second voice
yeah.
being higher, you know,
yeah.
higher, for sure.
For yeah, sure. I never thought about like, that.
I thought about yeah. DMX and Damien too.
Yeah. yeah, yo. RIP DMX, and I just was listening to that very recently. He was on a whole other level too. I know we're talking about Quasimodo and Mountain Sea, but goddamn, dude, like that's a mindset. Mm-hmm. But that's the thing, though. That's what makes a great album. That's what makes great music. Like, that's you're right. not just making a song. You are truly, you're living, like, not
you're
living
a world,
saying, but you're like, you're creating,
yeah.
exactly, you're creating a world. Like, you're method acting at this point. You're going yeah. so hard, but you're getting the Oscar, bro. Like, you won it. You earned it. A lot yeah. of people phone it in, dude. That album, The Unseen, is not phoned in. You can say that. You can say whatever you want, but it's not that.
I feel like Madlib creating Lord Quaz just like gives you like the perfect window into his creative mind. Like, you have to mm-hmm. rap slow to speed it up so that it fits the beat somehow, and then I'm gonna rap with it. It's just,
and you yeah. know what, that's something that also speaks to his dedication and like the lack of distractions, because like I know
yeah,
for a fact I'd be distracted
thing.
When I'm like making beats and shit, if something's taking too long to load, I'm gonna look at my phone. You know what I mean? But like, you can tell this for like, while something is taking time to do this, you're thinking about the next thing already. Like, this can only come to be by being truly thorough with what you're doing.
Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. And being in the bunker, like just
in
like,
the fucking in the bomb
yeah.
shelter.
Yeah.
The other thing I'll say about Lord Quaz in the way it sounds is, unlike Damien, or like sometimes when Kendrick like switches up his voice, it could be distracting, but
yeah,
there's something about the pitch of his voice that like fits perfectly in like bed of music.
It's so like distinctly different, and he's doing like they used to do stuff like that where like you record it at half speed and then you speed up the tape to make it a higher pitch, like mm-hmm. like George Clinton used to do that with P-Funk. And like, it just works. I don't know. There's a bunch of other people talking. There's all those like Melvin Van Peebles clips and there's like stuff from movies. Like, it just, I don't know. It sounds like two separate people.
Yeah.
It doesn't
True.
Sound like, it
Even
doesn't
now
sound
it
like,
sounds like that to me. And yeah. I know what this really is, you know? And
exactly.
I still get lost in some of like the magic of it, you know, when I listen to it now.
Like, yeah, Lord it doesn't sound like, yeah, like it doesn't sound like, oh, like I'm just changing the pitch of my voice to like fit this part of the song. Like, it's two separate people.
Plus, Madlib don't really rap a lot, and it's so funny that like, or like he does, like from the Quaz album and shit, but like he doesn't rap a lot in his own voice that much. So it's easier to believe. It's easier to suspend disbelief when you hear Quaz.
Mm-hmm.
And he did that on purpose, as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about what I appreciate most about my favorite rappers, and it's definitely the ability to tell a story. And I mm-hmm. think that's true about producers as well. And I think Madlib does that well. Like, if you're able to tell a story sonically and like take me on your journey with you, and also at the same time I'm learning things along the way, like you talked about being like tapped into other artists because you listened to this project, like I think that is brilliant.
Yeah, like so like there's so many, not even just like the artists that he like shouts out on it, but like just listening to like the different genres of music that he's like sampling and yeah. tying it all together in a cohesive thing. It's like, damn, like I really can take from like a jazz album, a prog rock album, punk rock album,
at the same
album,
damn time,
a reggae album, and like if I do it right and then you trust my ear, like it can all fit together into
yeah.
whatever you're creating.
Yeah, no, he made it make sense. He made it make sense to where, like, that was one of the first things that I would say I heard, and I was like, oh, like, I love when I hear shit that changes my actual view on what music can be. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to lock yourself in a box at all. Like, my favorite artists have, like, showed me that, like, oh, shit, like, the entire musical spectrum is available to you, especially you as a sample-based producer. Like, whatever you hear, you can use, you know? Like, so do it. Don't sell yourself short. Don't just use the same break. Don't just use the same shit, like, use everything.
Yeah, like, at the time I heard this album for the first time, like, I was pretty much, in terms of hip-hop music, like, I was just listening to, like, what was on the radio. I was listening to 50 Cent, I was listening to Dipset, I was listening to, like, Lil Wayne, and, like, that's great, I love all of that. But then I heard this, and I was like, what is this? It's like going from, like, hearing, you know, like, the rock music they play on the radio, and then hearing, like, Black Flag or like the Bad Brains for the first time. It's like that to me. Like, this is like the punk rock equivalent for hip hop. Like, you can tell this was a man just doing it himself, and he clearly was not concerned about, like, the commercialization of whatever he was making. He was just doing.
But again, like, if you build it, they will come. He built the world, built the character, built the dope music. And now people are going to come find you and make you more commercial because they're like, people need to hear this. You don't got to chase commercialism. You just got to make dope shit, and people are going to eventually come to you.
That's exactly. Right. Yeah.
So you, Filth, you had not heard, you weren't listening to Loot Pack or Peanut Butter Wolf or
anything? No, like, I would say, like I said, like, freshman year of high school was probably when I first heard, like, I probably heard, like, Mad Villainy first, and then went back and did the homework on Doom, Madlib, Stone Throw, and, like, found my way into that. But, like, yeah, prior to that, I was, you know, when you're 13 years old, I was listening to Dipset on the radio.
Right. Q, I saw you shaking your head. Same with you.
Absolutely, man. Like, dude, I didn't know shit about underground. The closest to underground, I mean, I think what kind of got me into underground was, like, honestly, fucking Gorillaz. Because I heard Dell, and I'm like, who the fuck is this dude? And then, like, I heard Dell Tron, and I'm like, who the fuck is this dude? And I'm like, oh, this dude's been out for mad long? Like, okay. Like, and then I got into that. And then I think, and then also, by the same token, I think, because Demon Days was, like, 06. Like, that wasn't when I first heard, but that was around the time I heard Doom. Doom, but I think Adult Swim. Adult Swim put me on to Doom. And, like, the Danger Doom album and shit. And then I was like, wait a minute. And then I heard Mad Villainy. And then I kept going back. Like, bro, I'm very good with all this shit. People are like, oh, yeah, you know so-and-so. I'm like, dude, I don't know nothing, dude. I didn't learn about it. I didn't become hip-hop conscious, like, underground, none of that. Like, I always loved it. But, again, I was subjected to the overground for a long time. I didn't know shit about underground forever, you know. And by the time I heard... And it wasn't until I heard, like, probably Cannibal Ox that I finally was like, oh, shit, all right, I need to search into the underground because this is where the dope shit is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But Doom is a big part of that. And then by association, Madlib. And then I heard Quasimodo, like, down the line. I didn't hear that shit when it came out by any means.
Yeah, no, definitely.
But definitely not. High school, probably, like late high school.
Yeah.
All right, so, Filth, when I first reach out, and I tried, Q, for some reason, I couldn't get you in the group message. IG was active.
Oh, no, but... listen, bro. I know people say this all the time, but I'm Shadow Ben. Yo, anybody that knows me in real life will tell you, I can't go on live for the next 2 months, like, I'm or 2 weeks or however long. Like, bro, I get banned.
Instagram's hating on him for sure.
All the time, dude. I've had multiple accounts banned. I had to restart my shit, like. But go ahead, though. I'm sorry.
They're out to get him.
It wasn't me. I'm glad to know.
No,
it's a widespread conspiracy.
It's a conspiracy.
They're out to get him.
Real shit. I know. It sounds crazy, but
I got my tin hat on. I'm believing it, man.
Well, when I first reached out, Filth, you like immediately said Beastie Boys.
Yeah, and that's like the reason I make music, like straight up, like. I don't know, like, growing up, like I said, like, listening to the radio and Y100 in Philly, RIP, is like the alt rock station, but they would play Beastie Boys and, like, they would play stuff by, like, Beck, and I was like, this is the greatest shit I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, like, went into that and just, like, got all their albums, and I was like, oh, like, they can... It's the same thing I was saying about Madlib. Like, you can literally do whatever you want. Like, the Beastie Boys are rapping, they're sampling stuff, they're playing, they're putting hardcore songs on the album, they're putting themselves trying to play instrumental jazz music, and they're like not really musicians, they're like three skate punks who like played in a hardcore band, and they're just like, oh, I listened to this album, I could try that, I could play that, and you just do it, and like that'll never not be inspiring to me. And yeah, I started playing bass when I was in high school. Me and my friends would play punk bands and try to learn how to play rap songs. And then, yeah, I didn't start like sampling stuff till I was in college because I didn't know how to. So yeah, no, that's the Beastie Boys are why I make music.
Hmm. Outside of Check Your Head, what would the Beastie's album be that you picked?
I stopped making beats for a very long time after college because all my friends who rapped, like when we grew up and got jobs and stopped rapping, and I didn't know you could just put out the beats. Like I knew Donuts existed. I knew there was instrumental Madlib albums, but I was like, I didn't know you could just like, I could just do that. So I was like, well, I have no reason to make beats anymore. And then when the pandemic hit, I'm playing a band with was like, yo, you should get Ableton so we can send songs ideas back and forth and keep working on stuff. And I bootlegged Ableton because I'm not paying for that shit. And looking at it, I'm like, yo, I think you can make beats on this. I found a dude on YouTube, he had like a 15-minute video. He made Souls of Mischief 93 to Infinity from scratch, and I would watch it and pause it and do what he's doing. And at the end of that video, I was like, I think I know how to use Ableton like enough. And I made like three beats. I sent them to my friend who like used to rap with, and he said, yo, these kind of like sound like Paul's Boutique. You should see if you can fit one of the acapellas over this. And I did it, and I sent it back, and he was like, yo, this is cool. Try to do another one, and one thing led to another, and that was like my pandemic try to keep sane project slash learn how to make beats again. I just made Paul's Boutique with a bunch of new samples, and yeah, so Paul's Boutique, I like now, it used to be Check Your Head, used to be my favorite Beastie Boys album, but through making that album and having like my own like alternate version of Paul's Boutique with stuff I made, I know way more than I should about that album and like the artists that they sampled and stuff like that. So
I fuck with Paul's Boutique. That's a great album.
Yeah.
Paul's Boutique Revisited by Phil Spector, also
tap in,
a dope listening companion, available on Bandcamp.
There you go. Guys, this has been a great conversation. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
And thank you both. I really appreciate it. And since you're in Philly, definitely swing by Flip a B Club sometime.
Yeah,
love to meet you both in person.
Yeah.
Thank you for having us, man. For real, you didn't have to do this. You could have been anywhere.
Nah, man, we're glad to have you. Glad to have you. Before we let you go, is there anything you want folks to know about where to find you, the music, what's coming?
Yeah. So follow like the Flip a B Club Instagram page. That's like the, you know, the whole every chapter, but you'll see when we have events coming up. You can follow me at filth_spectre on Instagram and X, Twitter, whatever it's called today.
It's Twitter.
Twitter, always, yeah. Yeah, always. Twitter, yeah. And Phil Spector on Bandcamp. Got a bunch of music on there, and me and Curie's projects on there, and me and Q are going to keep making more projects together and solo, so definitely tap in if you like what you hear.
Yeah, you can find me on the internet, Q No Rapney. Yeah, same shit, Instagram, Twitter, whatever. If you go on Facebook, if you want to be my friend on Facebook, it's Q No Rap Name backwards, Iman something, you know what I mean? So tap in with me, and yeah, you know, I'm about to be putting that shit out, y'all. I'm working with like people who I never even thought I'd be able to work with, and I'm actually going to the studio and 3 weeks to go record my album, so look out for that.
Nice. I just want to mention the Bandcamp page. Filth, your Bandcamp page says cassettes are sold out, but
that's
I went
true
to the Dead World
but
Radio
if you go
website,
to Dead World they got some limited supplies.
I also got three at the crib right here. If you want one, I got you, bro. You're in Germantown, bro. I got extras right here. I got you. Tap in with me.
But definitely go on Dead World Radio. He's, I don't know how many still remain, but get it, because we're not printing them again. We're just going to keep making new music.
On to the next.
That's right. All right. Like I said, this has been great. Thank you again. Filth Spectre, Q, no rap name, Flip a Beat Club, Philly, Crate Diggers.
Shout out to Bob.
Shout out to Bob. Cheers, y'all. Appreciate y'all.
All right. This has been the Next Movement, folks. Thanks for listening.
Peace. We interrupt this record to bring you a special bulletin. The reports of a flying saucer hovering over the city have been confirmed. The flying saucers are real.